You are listening to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast with host Sean Castrina.
Today you're going to learn something. You're going to learn how to negotiate, how to actually win every negotiation that you get in. And because there is a dynamic, there is a formula. The only way you don't win a negotiation, I have found, is when you went into it with an unrealistic expectation of what you thought you would get and or what you thought you would pay. Your expectation was unrealistic and you didn't have a clear understanding of what the counterpart wanted. And so if there's a massive gap, that's the only time, neither people are going to get there. And I have found early in negotiations where I'll say, we're miles away. That's why I do the things I'm getting ready to tell you to do so that I don't have these type of negotiations anymore. So how can you win every negotiation? The first thing is preparation. Before I go into something, I want to see the value of what we're all looking for. What do I think? I want to get a general idea of what I think they want. I want to get all the numbers. What will pay off if I get this? What am I going to, what is the win for me? What is it going to cost me? What is the long-term debt, if I have to take on debt to do this? Whatever the preparation is, I want to have massive preparation. Okay? I want to know, if I can, I want to know, who's going to be making the decision. I want to make sure that I'm not misunderstanding the dynamic that's going to be at play. Sometimes there's a lot, there may be more than one person in the negotiation. It's just general preparation. If you're going to go to war, you better know the lay of the land. You better know who your enemy is. You better know what a win looks like. You better know what, a truce looks like if you're going to need that. All these things play into it. So I think to be really good at negotiating, you need to have great preparation. I always joke about, it's the meeting before the meeting that always wins the meeting. I never walk into meetings, blindly. I learned this from the first CEO I worked for. He had a big board meeting that evening, and he was having a variety of, he had a lunch planned and a breakfast planned. And I was like, so what do you got going on today? I got the meetings before the meeting. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He goes, I don't ever walk into a major meeting that I don't already know the outcome before I go in it. Well, he did the preparation. He knew all the players and he got all of the, all their opinions and or what it would take for them to side with him in the meeting that evening. So preparation. Next is building a rapport. This is just common sense. You basically do business with people you like and trust. If you come across like a total a-hole, overbearingly arrogant and things like this, you're not going to win those negotiations. It's funny, people will talk about Trump, he's this, he's that. But prior to ever being president, most people would say they very much liked him. Very gregarious, very likable. I actually had a congressman come to our Christmas party this year. And we were talking about, the ability to build a rapport. And he was saying, hey, we're talking about the DeSantis and Trump dynamic. And he was saying to me, he's like, well, DeSantis, if he was here, he would be back in the corner with his people and probably would not be talking to anyone. And you would have a hard time having a conversation with him. Very businesslike, very standoffish. He said Trump, on the other hand, would know every single person at this dinner before he left. He would talk to every single person. He'd be, sitting down and he'd know the name of, everybody here, he would know. He would talk to every one of them. He said it's like breathing to him. He owns the room. Bill Clinton was the same way. So the ability to build a rapport is critical in negotiations because people generally do business with people they like and trust. Okay, so having a likability factor. Asking questions, to kind of get to know people, just wise, knowing who the players are, what their interests are. Again, that's part of the preparation, but it allows you to build a rapport. You're at the negotiation now. Everything I did before was kind of pre-getting into it, but the ability to be an active listener, this is asking questions. You know, you need to understand what their perspective is. You need to really get to know what a win looks like to them. You may have an idea of it in your preparation, but then you get into the meeting and something, you know, reveals itself. And you start getting an idea. Oh, what they really want is this. And they want this so that they can have this. And you start seeing the chessboard open up more. And you don't do that by talking. You do that by, you know, maybe asking a subtle question or a leading question or a probing question. And then you shut your mouth and you begin the active listening part. And active listening is you're gnawing on everything that comes, you're gnawing on it like wood, like a dog on a bone. You're really, you know, honing in on everything they say. It's not, you know, you ask a question, you're kind of oblivious to it, and you already have your response planned in your head. You know how we do that. We already know the answer. You know, we got 10 different things we want to say. Active listening is not looking to say anything. Active listening is just that. I want them to talk as much as possible, and I will lead. I will ask leading and probing questions so that I can dig deeper, because I need to know everything at play. That's critical. So your ability to actively listen is so important. And then with that, kind of if I take it to the next level, active listening, what that's trying to do is it's allowing you to understand that this is the whole goal. The whole goal of negotiation. You're like, well, no, it's to get what I want. You're never going to get what you want if you don't understand what they really want. Okay, there it is right there. So I ask, you know, I become a very active listener, which is asking more questions, probing deeper, finding out what they want, finding out who the major player is. Finding out who's the biggest decision maker in there. Again, I've gone to meetings where I thought this person was making it and they own the company. And actually that was not the person making the decision for them. They had a consultant, they had an attorney, they had somebody else who they were leaning on for that. And I had to switch my pitch to a different person. And that's through active listening. And then, you know, your ability to understand. Great listening will allow you to actually understand what it is they really want. You know, the book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, I think one of the five best books in the world. Everybody should read it. You know, should be a college class, should be a high school class for that matter. And Stephen Covey talks about you seek to understand. And that's what you want to do in negotiating. You're trying to understand. Then there's going to be typically flexibility and compromise. Rarely do you walk in and go, I want this. And they go, oh, sure, we'd love to give it to you. Okay, if that was the case, there wouldn't need to be a negotiation. There would have just been a sale. Okay, would have been unnecessary. So typically there is some type of flexibility and compromise in every negotiation. And if you feel like, well, if I compromise, I lost, well, good luck. And you may pay more than what you were thinking. And there's a give and take, like any relationship, in every relationship. So I think it's good to go in there, and I talk about like preparation, but sometimes something comes out in the meeting that you never expected. So you got to think pretty quick on your feet. But I think you need to go in there with the idea that where would I be flexible? And kind of have that prepped in there, like, okay, we'd be willing to go to this, to go to this, to go to that. There are certain times when I never saw the curveball coming, what they really wanted. And it was through the active listening, through seeking to understand, that I kind of caught the dynamic, what they really wanted. Okay? And so going into every negotiation, you try to go in there with this flexibility and this compromise, kind of already built into built into what your strategy is. You know there's going to be compromise somewhere. So if you go in thinking, oh, it's gonna, I want this, 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 and that, and that's how we negotiate, good luck. I don't think it works. And I've shared, you may get over on somebody once, but you're not going to get over on them twice because they ain't going to be in business that long. So you try to do business in such a way that you can do business with them again, because each time you do business with them again, it's faster and easier because there's a level of trust there. All right. Then, you know, obviously you have this flexibility and this compromise, and you got to close the deal. And I mean, and I'm a fan of closing it then. Okay. I mean, closing it then. So, I have, you know, done negotiations with another company, and I literally took our menu. It was, you know, like a menu that you could see, you know, the older times, it was like a big piece of paper, you know, it showed kind of everything on it. I flipped it over. It was a pizza place, people. It was lunch. Okay. But it was a very, very important negotiation. I'd say probably the three most important negotiations I've ever had in business. And I flipped it over, took out my Sharpie and wrote up the deal on the back of the menu. Why? I was leaving with the basic terms and signature done. Now, I gave it to my attorney to do the final pieces on it, but I closed the deal at lunch. Most people are not going to sign something that they're not going to agree to 2 days later with their attorney. And to some degree, it's binding anyway. But you know, it's like, what did we agree to? I did the date. I did the bullet points. This is what we agreed to. We each initialed those, signed and dated at the bottom of the menu. And then we ate the rest of the lunch. That was it. What? Close the deal. You know, once you have reached an acceptable agreement, get it in, write it down, get it signed as fast as you can. Because I've done this where I thought I had a deal and I didn't get a signature and then it drug on and then I lost it. And so I think you have, you know, you close the deal, get that thing ratified, get something in writing as fast as possible. So what we talked about today, and I hope you're learning from this, is how you win every negotiation. I'm like thinking of negotiations I've been in where there wasn't some win in it. You know, occasionally, you know, you have an unrealistic person. You know, they're unrealistic in what they want. I always feel like I'm going into it somewhat realistic. I'm old enough to know that I don't get everything I want. So I have a degree of flexibility built in there. But how do I go in? How do I feel like I can win every negotiation? I go in prepared. I build a rapport. People, again, do business with people they like and trust, like to feel like I can come across fairly likable to someone. I'm an active listener, which is hard for me because I'm not good at listening. If I could have like three skills over again, if I could go back and be 18 years old and I could ask for three skills, I would ask to be a world-class listener. So active listening, this is where I ask questions, shut up, ask more probing questions, shut up, just keep shutting up with the goal of seeking to understand all the dynamics at play. That's my goal in actively. I want to know what the deal is they want. I want to know who's making the deal. I want to know why they're making this deal. Everything. I'm an active listener. Then there's got to be flexibility and compromise. If there wasn't, you wouldn't be negotiating. You'd be doing a sale. Okay? You wouldn't need any of this. So I go in with flexibility and compromise kind of built into my DNA and hoping the same with them. When I'm building a rapport, I like this. I hope we're all here to make a deal today, because if not, we're wasting a lot of time. And I know we all got something better to do. So can I do that laughingly, you know, can looking at everybody in the room, you know, can I agree that we're all here under good intentions to make a deal today? And we understand there's going to be a degree of compromise, you know, and I kind of get the nod of the head. So I do it with my rapport to get, you know, understand there's need to be flexibility and compromise. And then when a deal is struck, when we have something that's agreed on, man, I want it on paper. I want to know that we're, write it up right then. You know, hey, listen, I'm going to send you an email recap of everything we agreed to today. Like if it's longer than, you know, the one I shared with you, the menu thing, but I do that. Just a simple recap on the back. Is there anything I misunderstood? I want to close it as fast as possible. This is Sean Castorina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. So grateful you listened to it. It continues to grow at a ridiculous pace because I think some people just don't want to spend an hour and a half listening to a podcast. To be frank, if they can get it in 10 or 15 minutes, they like that. So this formula works. And so thank you. It's brought to you by Gig Strategic. It is the best digital marketing company, period, under 500 employees. It produced 34% growth in my company. When James and his, you know, started with my company in January and February, the two most difficult months, 2018, unbelievable growth, and they've been handling everything since. So gigstrategic.com. If you should be growing at 20% a year as a small business. If not, you're going to plateau and be out of business. Well, I only know two ways to grow at 20%. Attract customers and sell. Attract customers and sell. Attract more customers and sell. That is my 1-2 formula. And I got all the fancy things where you can franchise, you can do this, you can do that. But guess what? If your core business isn't attracting and selling, reach out to Gig Strategic. They're incredible. They'll help you. Again, thank you for listening to the podcast. We will talk again real soon.